You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is John Jackson, radio analyst for the USC Trojans. How are you doing today, John?
Doing good.
Good. Well, thanks for coming on today. You know, the whole idea is to give us a good look into what's going on down in SoCal with USC. And, you know, last time Utah actually played the Trojans in at USC was when Ed Orgeron was filling in as interim coach. And once again, for some reason, they have an interim coach in Clay Helton. I'm wondering, do you get the same kind of feeling or buzz around the program with the interim coach as it was last time?
Well, you know, not quite yet. You know, what Coach Orgeron did is he made household changes immediately. And so, you know, there was you know, a lot of things. Coach O was a big food guy. So he, you know, he had all these different restaurants catered in, you know, different food for the kids. I mean, and trust me, it's kids food, not, you know, not steak and lobster. But he did those types of things. And there was a lot of, the program was in a little bit of a different state, with Lane, for the good or the bad, right? I mean, you know, he could do certain things to get the kids motivated, let them have a little bit more fun. You know, even ice cream on the plane was one of the things. It was a thing. So, it's a little bit of a different vibe, because when Lane was there, it felt like, you know, things were, you know, obviously not, you know, really lining up very well. But with Sark, it seemed like things were going in the right direction from an overall standpoint. Obviously his last game as a USC head coach against Washington didn't fare out very well. But, it's a little bit different vibe this time with Clay Helton.
Okay. So is Helton not, you're not seeing Helton making big changes to the way things are done there as Orgeron did last time?
Yeah, well, and another reason for it is because, you know, Clay, you know, and Sark were sort of on the same page in terms of being play callers and, you know, stuff like that. So a lot of the things that were sort of in motion that Clay agreed with or sort of going along with, you know, those things sort of stayed in place. The other thing that sort of goes along with that as well is that in the case of Coach Orgeron, you know, he was a defensive-minded coach, and he sort of could let the defense with Clancy Pendergast sort of take over that side, and then he let Clay take over the offensive side, and he became sort of a manager. In Clay's case, he has to call offensive plays, and so that's what sort of changes the dynamic a little bit. Clay has a little bit more responsibility on his plate than Coach O did when he took over the interim job. You know, but Clay is making some subtle changes, but not the real household changes that we've seen in the past.
Okay. And, I mean, when, you know, Orgeron took over, the players really responded well to him. How do you feel the players are responding to Helton taking over?
Well, in that case, I would say there is some similarity in terms of what Clay is doing, because when he was announced as the head coach or the interim head coach at USC, the entire student body stood up and gave him a stand. I mean, the whole football team stood up and gave him a standing ovation. I mean, they were really excited to have him as that interim coach, and, you know, felt really comfortable. So, you know, from that standpoint, I would say there are some similarities. The team is, you know, really excited to have him in charge. They respect him tremendously, you know, as a head coach and as a person. So from that standpoint, you know, that went over very well from a team standpoint.
Hey, I mean, do you feel like Helton has any shot, you know, depending on performance of landing that gig, come end of the year as well?
You know, I do. You know, that's the million-dollar question that everybody's asking right now, is that, you know, what are the chances for him to, you know, to get the head coaching job at the end of this? If he goes on a similar run that Coach O did, and that doesn't necessarily meaning the Pac-12 championship, but has a team moving in a positive direction, makes a run at the championship, might not necessarily win it, but may finish second, and just has the team playing a better brand of football, then in that case, I do think that he has a definite shot at it. You know, Clay has done a lot for USC. He's been around the program for the last 6 years, and so for that standpoint, he's a household name. But it's going to take a major run. It's going to take this team to play a lot better than they have in the last couple of weeks.
Okay, I mean, we're talking about how the team's playing. What's the general buzz down in SoCal about Utah coming in to play USC right now?
Well, Utah definitely has their attention, I can tell you that. I mean, you know, the job that that the coaches and the players have done at Utah, and you know, the huge upset win over, which, you know, now seems like a routine win the way that they're playing, the huge win over Oregon, and you know, the way they played against Cal, you know, at home and all that kind of stuff, it has the Trojans' attention, no question about it. I mean, they, you know, have a respect for Utah, not that they wouldn't have before, but even the fact that Utah beat them last year. So it's a different vibe from, you know, when Utah, you know, sort of first came in the conference and just sort of being a participant. Now they're a contender and a legitimate contender, you know, being the number three ranked team in the country, highly deserved. And so there's a newfound respect for this USC team in terms of what they're going to expect for Utah coming in the Coliseum.
Okay. You know, it is interesting the way the two teams are playing right now, and it's kind of the opposite of what, you know, has been in the past. You know, Utah is finally peaking during the season where USC seems to be going the other way. But one thing that USC continues to do well, but at least definitely in the Pac-12 ranking standpoint, is their passing game with Kessler and great wide receivers like Juju Smith-Schuster. How do you think the Utes can slow that passing attack down?
Well, you know, I mean, that's going to be, I think, where the game is really going to be, you know, won and lost. I mean, the Trojans have been able to make, in the games that they've played well, the receiving corps has played very well. And it's a tough group to stop. You know, they had an injury to Steven Mitchell, which really hurts, you know, this group as a whole. But Cody, when he is on, and he was on it, especially at the beginning of the season, you know, he's very difficult to stop. The key for USC is they have to get all the guys involved. They have a lot of talented receivers. And when the ball is being spread around, that's when they're the most difficult to stop. But, you know, on the flip side, it's not like Utah doesn't have, you know, the defensive backs and, you know, especially the way that they play, you know, a strong run defense. You know, those things also factor into it as well. So, it's a very talented receiving core, that the Trojans are going to field, but it's also one that if Utah, if the Trojans can't keep balance between run and pass, then it becomes one-dimensional. And when it becomes one-dimensional, that's when Utah will have its greatest success. So the key for the Trojans on Saturday is they're going to have to balance the run and the pass and keep Utah guessing.
Hey, I mean, one of the key things for Utah has been, you know, getting, you know, breaking up that offensive line to either, one, be able to stifle the run. I mean, they only allowed ASU to have 15 rush yards this last week. And then, you know, getting some pressure on the quarterback. Who do you see winning that battle up front that's going to be so pivotal between Utah's defensive line and USC's offensive line?
Well, I can tell you right now, if Utah is able to hold the Trojans to 15 or anything less than 100 yards rushing, Utah will win the game. You know, USC is not that kind of team. They cannot, I mean, they had a ton of yards last week against Notre Dame, but they are not a team that is just going to be able to throw it all around and have a lot of success. They have to have balance, and they have, you know, three talented tailbacks that create that balance for them. You know, the ASU, I think that was one of the reasons why ASU ran into a lot of trouble. They weren't able to get any kind of run game going against Utah, so it became sort of Berkovici against the Utah secondary. And, you know, whenever you're throwing the ball that much, especially in college football, it's not a big remedy for success. So that is a key matchup, that the offensive and defensive line, offense for USC and defensive line for Utah. That's a key matchup to the game. And if that, how that plays out will probably indicate the winner.
Okay, I mean, so let's flip it. I mean, if you put the USC defensive line against the Utah offensive line, I mean, who do you see winning? I mean, up until before the ASU game, Utah had only allowed 2 sacks, and Devontae Booker's been having relatively good games, even though all of the defenses are keying down, stacking the box, trying to stop him. How do you feel USC's defensive line will come to that task of trying to break through Utah's offensive line?
Well, that's why I think that in the case of Devontae Booker, that's a constant. He's going to be good, and he's going to be tough to stop. Utah's done a great job in terms of getting him the ball and, you know, creating different types of runs to get him the ball. And that, to me, in this game is going to be a constant. He's going to be difficult to stop, and he's probably going to rush for about 120 to 150 yards in that game. The key for the Trojans is they've had a lot of trouble stopping the run. So when you're just looking at the matchup on paper, it looks very good for Utah in terms of being able to run the ball against this Trojan defense. But I expect USC to try to make some adjustments like everybody has, put more guys in the box and all those types of things, and force Travis Wilson to try to beat him. Travis has been very good, and now that he's, you know, been in the conference for a couple years, you know, or, you know, he's a veteran guy, you know, there's not much that's going to fool him. So that's really going to be where you know, Utah can really exploit the Trojans, is with their run offense. So the Trojans have to find a way to play some run defense. They haven't been good in weeks past, but they're going to have to find a way to stop probably the best runner in the conference on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, talking about stopping Booker, I mean, the USC has some, you know, in my opinion, really good playmaking linebackers in Sua Cravens and Cameron Smith. Are they, would you consider them the heart of the USC defense at this point?
Well, no question. I think that, you know, Sua has been fabulous over the last couple of years. I mean, he's been great. You know, he's been trying to put him in position to make all the big plays, and he has been really good at doing that. So, you know, you have to watch where he's at. He's a guy that sort of moves around and, you know, tries to make big plays. And Cameron Smith, for only being a freshman, he has been spectacular as well. He leads the Trojans in tackles. You know, but once again, he is a freshman still, you know, sort of learning how to adapt to this, you know, to the conference play. But those two have been very good, and the linebacking core for the Trojans have to be big in the style of defense that they play. And so the success of the defense almost comes on those guys making big plays. You know, Utah doesn't turn the ball over a lot, but I think that that's sort of one of the things that the Trojans are going to have to find a way to create some turnovers in the game because of the style of offense that Utah runs.
Right. And I mean, you mentioned, you know, the style of offense Utah's running is clearly, you know, established Devontae Booker, and then that hopefully opens up the passing game for Travis Wilson. How, I mean, you mentioned Travis Wilson's a veteran quarterback. He's seen a lot of what the Trojans could possibly throw at him up to this point. How would you try to attack Travis Wilson to commit some more turnovers? I mean, he's been really sound this year in his decision making.
Right. Well, I think that the key is, you know, everybody always wants to look at that third down stat and sort of how, you know, what did you do on third down? I think the key in this game is what happens on first down. And, you know, I think that the, you know, Utah obviously wants to run the football to establish Booker, but if the Trojans can have success on first down, force, you know, Travis and the Utah offense into long yardage situations on second and third down, you know, force them to make more difficult throws, then that is where, you know, the opportunity to create those turnovers is going to come. Because it's not going to happen if he's just sort of working underneath coverage and they're throwing all these high percentage passes. He's just way too good for that. So you have to force those long yardage situations and force him to make some difficult throws, maybe through some traffic. You know, maybe you can have some design blitzes that come at him. You know, those types of different things will help make things a little bit more difficult, you know, for Travis and the Utah offense. If you allow Utah to have a lot of success on first down, it becomes second and short and third and short, and then they can do a lot of different things off of play action and all those things that make them really good. So you have to, the first down to me is going to be the key down on Saturday.
Okay, I mean, up to this point, we've got a couple keys to the game. I mean, we've talked about the battle of the trenches, and you just mentioned the Utah success on first downs. You know, another thing that's been a good X factor for the Utes, with the exception of the ASU game, has been Utah's special teams. How much of an X factor do you expect, or impact do you expect special teams to have in this game?
Well, Utah is the best in the conference on special teams. I mean, that's a big factor in the game. A lot of times when you play teams, just in general, you sort of figure the special teams are going to be a wash, right? There's not going to be a lot of long returns. There's not going to be a lot of you know, punts getting blocked or those types of unique type of things. But when you play against Utah, those stats just jump off the page in terms of how good they are at doing those things. They're, you know, like I said, no question, the best special teams unit in the conference. But USC has been pretty good in punt and kickoff coverage. I think it starts there. You cannot allow Utah to have any, you know, long returns or explosive plays in the kicking game. It's a lot easier said than done. But if the Trojans can make it a wash on Saturday, where neither team has a lot of impactful type of special teams play, that to me leads to a win for the Trojans. But it's a lot, like I said, it's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. You know, we have these interviews, but everything in the end is so much easier for us to talk about than for the players and coaches to actually execute it on the field.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, Vegas started out the week throwing this game as, you know, putting Utah as a 3-point underdog. You know, ultimately, what do you think of that? Do you have any ultimate expectations for this game? And if you're willing to, do you have a prediction for us?
You know, I'm not an expert on the spread, but I always hear that whenever, you know, they start making these spreads, the first thing they say is the home team gets 3 points. So, you know, for some reason, I think that they think that the, you know, the experts on this game just, you know, think that, you know, the Trojans playing in the Coliseum, but it gives them a little bit of an advantage. And I think that is true. I think the thing is that Utah, despite its success, despite what you see on film, which is, you know, a very talented team, very well coached and all those types of things, from a national perspective or from a sportsbook perspective in this case, people haven't quite given them the respect. I wouldn't say that's the case of USC. I could tell you, talking to Clay Helton this week, there's a high level of respect for them. But Utah, I don't think that everybody around the country is sold yet. But if they win this game on Saturday, there'll be a lot of people that sort of change their opinion on this Utah team. It's just because they haven't been in the national picture for, you know, in pretty much their, you know, ever have never been in the national picture the way they are this year. And that's why I think there's some skeptics out there. But, you know, I can tell you from me watching them, and the USC Trojans, from talking to the coaches and the players, there's a high level of respect that they won't overlook them on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you've led me to another question, is that you mentioned USC having given a little advantage because, you know, it is their home field they'll be playing on today. It just seems like the Pac-12 in general this year has been kind of crazy where I don't remember if it's 100% true anymore, but the visiting team they've had winning records against the home teams this year in the Pac-12. I mean, do you think that's going to, you know, normalize out, or what do you think is the reason for that?
Well, you're right. I think that, you know, the teams have not been as intimidated as they should be when they go on the road. And I think that will get normalized out. I think that the reason is because the teams that, who coincidentally have gone on the road and played, they've just been better than those teams. I mean, when we first saw the score with Utah beating Oregon, we said, wow, what an upset. And then you follow what Oregon has done since then, and you say, oh, okay, well, Utah's just better than them. And then you follow what Stanford did to USC, and that was such an upset early in the year. And then now that we watch Stanford play and kill UCLA and everybody else in their way, now you just say, well, you know, that Stanford team is better than you thought. So I think that a lot of it, it's just the parity within the Pac-12. You know, and year by year, you sort of have to wait and see who's the good teams and who's not. And I think that's sort of what's playing out now. We're finding out that Stanford, Utah, are better than they were supposed to be at the beginning of the season. And maybe a USC, Arizona State, you know, UCLA, maybe not as good as people projected at the start of the season. So I just think it's just sort of that that cream sort of rising to the top. And right now, Utah is the cream.
Yeah, no, I agree. I am slightly biased, but I do believe that, you know, this conference is looking like it's going to be Utah and Stanford for one, and, you know, hopefully one amazing Pac-12 title game. But we're getting way ahead of ourselves. There's a lot of football left to be played. You know, thanks for coming on and giving us some insight into what's going down in USC Nation. I do have one question. You know, we have a decent amount of fans that will be traveling to the Coliseum. And I was wondering if you might be able to give us, you know, this is the Torn by Sports lunch break. Maybe you could give us a couple lunch recommendations for our traveling fan base that'll be down there, you know, in the next couple of days.
Yeah, you know, I guess that if you're, you know, if you're coming down to USC and you're, you know, you're as a fan, there's a couple things. The first thing is on campus. There's a lot of you know, tailgating, and there's some, you know, places to eat that are on campus. You know, that would be highly recommended. But if you really want to get fancy, down the street, down Figueroa, which is the main street that leads to USC. If you go to downtown LA, they have a place called LA Live. And in LA Live, there's a lot of different restaurants. There's high-end restaurants all the way down to, you know, the sort of the fast food type of places. But it's a really entertaining place to see. It's where the Staples Center is at, where the Lakers and the Clippers play and the Kings play. So it's a really entertaining type of atmosphere. You know, like I said, it's right in the heart of downtown LA. And it's a pretty easy drive straight down Figueroa to get to the Coliseum for the game. So if you get there early and you want to plan, LA Live would be a great place to stop. Otherwise, you know, it's always I think when visiting teams come, it's a bucket list item to sort of go on the USC campus and see what the campus is all about as well. And, you know, there's some Trojan hospitality out there. There'll be some Trojans that treat you well. So, I hope
the
Utah fans have fun when they come out.
Yeah, no, I know a bunch of fans have been going down, have gone down a couple times already, and, you know, they've had good times. So I expect that there'll be some continued hospitality from USC fans.
Exactly.
Well, John,
just remember us Trojans, we're sore losers. So, you know, you got to catch us before the game, not after.
all right, sounds good, John. Well, I'll make sure not to talk too much during or after the game. Well, thanks again, John, and you know, hopefully we'll talk to you again maybe later down in the season or come next year.
Anytime, thanks for having me.
This has been a Torn by Sports production.